kind of, if you have any kind of artery disease, peripheral artery disease, if you have heart problems, cardiac issues, if you have a cardiologist that you see, if you have a back problem, if you're being treated for chronic fatigue, if you have pain, constant pain, I believe the Holy Spirit is right here in this room to heal and do miracles right now. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your consuming healing power, Lord. Come and arrest every sickness and every disease, Lord. Break its power and bring healing into the life of your people, Lord. Father, we speak to peripheral artery disease right now, to coronary disease right now, to bulging discs and herniated discs and fused problems and neck problems and artery problems of every kind. Lord, we speak the healing power of Jesus in this room right now. We thank you, Lord. And Lord, even for those that are grieving, some that are just, you're just wrestling with sadness. It's like you're sad. Feel like your heart has been broken. And I have a word for you that God is going to turn your mourning into dancing and your sorrow into joy. Father, I pray that you would just heal the broken heart. Lord, we're not here to fake like we're happy if we're not. But Lord, you give true joy. And that's ours in Christ. The joy of the Lord. It's ours today, Lord. And we claim it for our own. We thank you, Lord, for breaking every yoke and every burden, Lord. We bless you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you just quietly be seated and just in the presence of the Lord, stay with me one moment, worship team. I just feel like I want this worship flow to stay just for a minute. We're going to, what we do once a year in our church is we're committed to the harvest and training people. Our church is a training center. Our church believes in the local church is not a place for people to come and sit. The local church is a place for you to find your ministry and be trained up and raised up and find your calling and even for you to be recognized in your calling. So we have our licensed ministers that are a part of the leadership ministry team of our church. And we have a number of them, 30 or 40, I think, that are licensed ministers. Today, we're adding 5 new licensed ministers. These are those whose lives have been examined, whose doctrine has been examined, whose commitment and training and dedication to ministry and to the Lord Jesus Christ is of a quality that we want to recognize. So I'm going to call the following people, and I'm going to ask a few of our Gateway pastors just come. Would you guys just come up here on the stage, and we're just going to have a brief moment of prayer. But these are those that are being licensed with Gateway as ministers this morning. Margaret Deemer, Micah Jones, John Newton, Joshaphat Zelaya, and Michael Rubio. Would you come? Let's give them a hand. If you love them, let them know. All right? Come on, guys. Just stand in front of the pastors. Thank you, Margaret. Margaret's going to be working with women's ministry. Did I go away? Something happened? Michael is going to be working in the Phoenix campus. You'll hear more about that, along with Joshaphat and John, working with young adults. And Micah over here, there he is, also working with young adults. I'm proud of you guys. And we've examined you. Most of you have graduated from Impact School of Ministry or something equivalent. You've proven yourselves as having the right heart about leadership. Leadership is not about titles. Leadership is not a way to get something personal for yourself. Leadership is serving. In fact, the word minister means serve. It just means, so we're licensing you, big, right? We're licensing you to serve. And so we charge you to be strong and to represent the Lord Jesus Christ in all of your ways, 24/7. You're always a representative of Jesus, and that you would serve him wherever you go. Pastors, let's lay our hands on them. Congregation, stretch your hands. Father, we thank you for these lives that have been consecrated, dedicated to you. And we as just affirm the call of God, and as lead pastors, license them now to fulfill their calling, to make full proof of their ministry, to serve your people and to reach the lost, to equip, to train, and in all their ways, Lord, to glorify you and bring forth, Jesus, as you said, much fruit. You've called us and chosen us. We might bring forth much fruit. Lord, we bless them. In Jesus' name, the blessing of this house rest on them. For your glory, Lord, and unto him be all the glory. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Give them a hand. Micah, Margaret, Michael, Joshaphat, congratulations, guys. Wonderful. All right. I'll keep this handy in case it might just be because I'm turning. I don't know what it is. If I turn my back, you can't hear me. There's something prophetic about that, so I'm not sure what it is. Good morning. Aloha.
Aloha.
That's how we say it in the islands. Well, you might think, who is this spoiled guy that goes to Hawaii? 26 years ago, my parents purchased property on the island of Maui, and it's been a second home for us ever since, so it's a real blessing that Kathy and I have enjoyed, and we really hated to leave you and go to Maui. We really did. But we were excited to come back, and so we rested, and Kathy and I have talked, and she's going to stay married to me, so that's good. And we're going to continue on. Today is a very special Sunday. It's a special day at Gateway, and our purpose today, the name of today is Sending Sunday, because this is the day that we are sending our Phoenix, Arizona team to officially relocate, move, and begin the next 6-7 months of preparation, which we've already been working for a year on this project, but now it intensifies as Pastor Albert and Jenny Castaneda, who will be the campus pastors of Gateway Phoenix, this week will be moving within just a few days, relocating, and they will no longer be Gateway San Jose pastors. They'll still be a part of Gateway San Jose, our Gateway family, but they're going to become the campus pastors of Gateway Phoenix, and today is the day that we make that official, and so it's very special. Our elders are going to join us at the end of the service, and you, each and every one of you, are going to be a part of the process of commissioning them, and along with them, some of the members that could make it, that are a part of the Phoenix church plant team, that are a part of the official launch team. They are here. There's 26, I think, something in the neighborhood of 26 people that are a part of the launch team, and we're believing that by February 10th of 2019, when we hold our very first public service in the Phoenix area, in our beautiful location there, that we will have about 60 on the launch team and maybe 150, maybe 300 people at that first service. So we're reaching for the stars, and I know God is going to bless us. So it's a big day. It's a day about, you know, it's a day about the vision. I'm going to talk a little bit about why we're doing all of this. Why would we be talking about other churches? Why would we be sending people to other cities? What's wrong with this city? You know, what is our vision? What is all this about? And I'm also going to, and it's also a day of authority. So we're going to participate together in some prayers, some kind of strong prayers, some declarations over the team at the end of the service as a part of their sending and authorizing them to extend the reach of Gateway City Church into a city that we're reaching into, Gilbert, Arizona, the Phoenix area. And so today's about authority. So we're going to do some declaring and some, and then today's about love. It's about family. It's about just being who we are. We love each other. We're community. We love the Castanedas. They're special to us. They've grown on us. We're bonded with them. They're a part of us, and they remain a part of us. So you're going to have a chance to just love on them and greet them at the end of the service, and we'll do some hugging and maybe some crying and try to borrow money from them. Whatever we can do before they leave town, whatever we can do, just to, so, and each of you are very important in this process. So I'm so glad you're here, and this is a very important Sunday. But for the teaching portion of our service, and I'm going to bring a message that I think will fuel a little bit of what we're doing here in reaching cities, but also in this idea of ministry here locally, I believe that every person has a calling, not just the people that are being prayed for today. Every single person that hears my voice, God has called you and equipped you and is equipping you and is raising you up for his purpose. And so I want to address that. And my theme is a little bit different. Bear with me, because my theme this morning is serving the greatest investor ever. And maybe that sounds a little different to you now, but I hope by the end of this message, you'll understand exactly what I mean. We get into the scripture in Luke chapter 19, and I'm going to read to you from the New Living Translation, and we have it up on the screens for your reading pleasure. But this is a story that Jesus told. It's a parable. He made it up to make a point. He told a story to make a point. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to give us the point so that all of us can be strengthened by his words. Jesus said, "A nobleman was called away to a distant empire to be crowned king and then return. Before he left, he called together 10 of his servants and divided among them 10 pounds of silver, saying," and I want you to say this word with me, "saying," what? "Invest." Boy, that is a big word for us this morning. "Saying, invest this for me while I'm gone. And after he returned, he called the servants to whom he had given the money, and he wanted to find out what their profits were. The first servant reported, 'Master, I invested your money, and I made 10 times the original amount.' 'Well done,' the king exclaimed. 'You are a good servant. You have been,'" and I want you to say this word with me, "faithful." Yeah. Invest is a big word today, and faithful is a big word. "You have been faithful with the little I entrusted to you, so you will be governor of 10 cities as your reward.' The next servant reported, 'Master, I invested your money also and made 5 times the original amount.' 'Well done,' the king said. 'You will be governor over 5 cities.' But the third servant brought back only the original amount of money and said, 'Master, I hid your money and kept it safe. I was afraid because you are a hard man to deal with, taking what isn't yours and harvesting crops you didn't plant. You wicked servant.'" I want you to remember now, this is a Jewish audience that Jesus is telling this story to. And the thought that someone would leave money uninvested was shocking. "Oi! You wicked servant." Watch this. Because Jewish people understand stewardship. They understand investment. They understand taking something that you have and making the most of it. So Jesus is talking to his Jewish audience. He said, this guy didn't do anything with it. And it's the shock factor. And he says, the king says, "You wicked servant," he roared, your own words condemn you. Why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least get the interest." Then, turning to the others standing nearby, the king ordered, "Take the money from this servant. Take it from him and give it to the one who has 10 pounds. "But master," they said, "he already has 10 pounds. "Yes," the king replied. And here's the kicker. This is the statement that hangs in your memory. This is the real point of this story. Remember, he says, "To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away." On so many levels, this story is terrifying to me personally, because it's about responsibility. It's about consequences. It's about penalties for doing the wrong thing. But it's also, positively, a story that talks about rewards. A story that reveals what God is really after. Jesus wasn't teaching banking, though he used banking and investments as a frame for his story. What he was really teaching is the kind of heart we need to have and the kind of attitude that we need to have about what we have been given and what we are expected to do with what we have been given. This is a kingdom parable that shakes us, gets our attention, and wakes us up. And that's why I say today I want to talk about working for or serving the greatest investor ever. Investment, that's a word that we would know here in Silicon Valley. This is where we live. It's a beautiful place. And here in Silicon Valley, which is the heart of venture capitalism for our nation, really, this is a very unique area that we live in. In fact, just from our part of San Jose, right here in South San Jose, just going up the peninsula, just maybe within a one-hour drive up to, say, the city of San Francisco, just that territory there, Silicon Valley, is responsible for more venture capital right here in the Bay Area than the rest of the country combined. $40 billion on the table in three counties for startups, for venture cap, for investments. There's more money sitting right here around us, and all I want is a tithe. All I want is one tithe of it. That's it. Just give me the tithe. But right here, people are putting everything into their idea, their training, their concept, they're laying it on the table, and they're saying, I'm going to risk this because I believe there can be a reward at the end of the risk. In fact, with investment, that's really the nature of investment. It's been said that this passage that we just read reveals God as the greatest investor ever. And I want you to think about that. He's the greatest venture capitalist ever. Also been said that Jesus and his disciples were the most successful startup in the history of mankind. Think about that. You start off with 10 broke fishermen, 12 broke fishermen, right? And you change the world for 2,000 years. Become the largest organization, the church. And then also you could think about Christ's death on the cross as a huge investment for a reward. That he loved you so much that he gave his all. What was he expecting back? So that he could redeem you and I. That's a huge investment. And then he sent the Holy Spirit. Not only did he give his life, but after he rose on the third day, he invested the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit into the church and made that investment. And as he invested his Holy Spirit into the church, the Holy Spirit entering into you and to all who would believe, gifts and callings started manifesting in people's lives, and that treasure that God had dropped down from heaven into your life. Imagine your life as a bank that God has invested into. Now, my question is, where does that leave you? Where does the gift and the investment that Jesus made in you, where does that leave you and I? What are we doing with that? That's the thinking that Jesus is trying to provoke. I'm going to tell you a story about a man who invested and rewarded those who did it right, and a man who also hid and was afraid and got rebuked. And the bottom line, Jesus says, is to those who have been given and those who are faithful with what they've been given, more is going to be given. But to those who sit and do nothing, even the little they have is taken away. I want to ask you today, is your life characterized by growth and increase, or is your life characterized by loss, 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 loss? What are you doing today with what God has given you? So let's talk about investment. Let's talk about serving the greatest investor who ever lived. And in this story, I find three ideas that I just want to share with you for the next 20, 25 minutes, and then we're going to have 5 minutes, 10 minutes of prayer and sending for the Phoenix team. But let me start with number one. The first thing that I get in this parable is that we have an assignment. I noticed this right away. You and I have an assignment. I think that Jesus is trying to drive this home in the story. He says, invest this for me. Do something for me. That's an assignment. Assignments are so key in life. They're so defining of who we are. You may have a job assignment, but I promise you, your job is not who you are. God has given you something greater than a job or a career. He's given you a calling and an identity. He's given you, in essence, a God assignment. You each have a God assignment, and those assignments are the basis of our earthly stewardship and of our eternal reward. It's a big deal to understand what your God assignment is. In this case, the story that Jesus is telling, the assignment is to invest, to make a strategic investment of capital. What does it mean to invest? To invest is to commit our resources with the expectation of increase. A person doesn't invest just so that they can get the same back at the end of the investment term. They invest here in Silicon Valley. People put money on the table. They invest in a company. Sometimes they lose, but they're never intending to lose. What they do is they invest because they believe that stock is going to go up and that business plan is going to work. And so they invest and they expect a return. And Jesus also expects a return. Think about this. He's invested in us. Like these stewards, we've been given something of value. We've been given an assignment to invest. We've been given a job to do for the Lord. You say, well, I think I messed up. I haven't done my job. Good. There's no day like today for getting started. You can get right back on track today with what God has called you to do. You might say, well, I don't know what God has called me to do. I don't know what I should do next. Stick around. He's going to make it clear. He's going to make it clear. But one thing is for sure. One thing is for sure. He has no intention of you sitting still. He wants you to increase. He wants you to grow. He wants something great to happen in your life and through your life. So the idea of investment is so important. We've been given something of value, and spiritually what's happening here in our church, we're investing money in the Phoenix campus plant. Somewhere north of $250,000 has already come in. We're going to use every dime of that to get this venture going because we believe in souls. So money's being an investment, but more than that, we're investing people. We're investing lives. We're investing prayer. We're investing energy. We are putting something on the table because we have an investor that's expecting us to bring an increase. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about here today? What guides our investment? The Great Commission guides our investment. Matthew 28, Jesus said, go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Go do this. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to faithfully follow all that I have commanded you, and never forget that I am with you every day, even to the completion of this. Until the job is done, I will never leave you. So God says, I want you to invest, but he says, you're not on your own. I'm going to stick around. We're going to do this together. Sometimes an investment or sometimes an assignment stays on our lives for a long, long time. Kathy and I have been serving in this current assignment as lead pastors of Gateway since the year 2000. We've been a part of our church since 1974. Part of but then during that time, my assignments have changed within that. And there's very interesting that God will sometimes give you a new assignment. You can't get stuck in an old assignment. You can't say, well, this is my identity. This is my job. This is my assignment. So I'm going to just do it forever. Maybe if God plans for you to do it forever, then you can do that. But God is a God of constant change and constant new assignments. So one question for us to ask is, what is our assignment? And if you're confused about that, Lord, do I have a new assignment now? Am I retiring? Did I lose a loved one? Am I graduating? Lord, what's the update? Am I still doing what you want me to do? Is there something new? And allowing God to shape your destiny day by day and to give you his assignments and to see that you're thriving in those assignments and those investments are so important. A new assignment will give you clarity, and it's a part of your journey. I think about Pastor Albert and Jenny that came, and they were volunteer youth leaders, and then they were staff youth leaders, and then Jenny came on full time, and Albert was already on full time, and then they were transitioned from youth pastors to young adult pastors, where they not only raised up the youth group, but then they transferred their energy into the LIFT young adult community. Did a fantastic job the last 2 years there. Now they're getting another new assignment. So this is a part of an ongoing thing where God develops us and trusts us. As we are faithful with little, then God will increase us and give us new assignments. What I'm coming to is a question. What is your assignment? What is your God assignment? That's an important question for you to ask, because the King has made an investment in you. He's asking you to do something for him. And that might need to be updated. That might need to be adjusted. And you might need to check in with the King and say, is this still what you want me to do? Let God be God, and let him give you your assignment, and let him move you into that place of fruitfulness and increase that he has. It was just 2 years ago, exactly 2 years ago, in the month of May, when God supernaturally spoke a new assignment to Kathy and I shared it, of course, with our strategic team and our pastors and our elders and our board. And I wrote about it in a book that just came out last fall. And I'm really, really serious about this assignment. I mean, it was a profound new assignment that God gave me personally, and us by extension, to go into cities, not just to be a one location church, but to be a multi-site church where there was darkness in other cities and pain in other cities. And God spoke to me through the word. In fact, he used Luke chapter 19, this very passage that I read to you. He spoke to me out of that, gave me understanding and direction for my life. And as I accepted that new assignment, and our team adjusted to the assignment, and we began to, and God has been blessing us. And now, today, June 10th, 2018, just 2 years after the Lord spoke that to me, we are laying hands on the team that will establish city number 5 of a 10-city vision. 2 years later, it's happening. You say, how is that happening? I don't know. I have no idea. And other ideas and other opportunities are popping. And I'm saying, Lord, what is this? What happens is you take a step and you step into that assignment and you say, Lord, I'm allowing you to give me a new sign. I'm not just going to prophesy over you. I'm going to prophesy that right now, today, in this service, and over the next few days, God is going to reveal to you new assignments. I didn't say a new wife or a new husband. God is going to add to your portfolio. He's going to expand what you're doing now. And it's not like you're going to quit, but he's going to add dimension because you've been faithful. And God's going to start speaking to you, and you're going to have hope for your life and direction for your life. Do you receive that? So the Great Commission is a part of our assignment. We get new assignments. We want to answer the question about our assignment. What is our assignment? And the assignment that's on this church, one of them is to establish a thriving, flourishing presence, a gateway presence in other cities. And that's a big part of what today really represents. Why are we sending a couple as quality, as high level, as needed, as useful? Why would we send Albert and, did they do something wrong? Are they being banished? Why would we send them? No, because we have an assignment. Understand? And they have an assignment. And so this is destiny. We can't bury our resources, and we can't just put our resources on the shelf. We have to invest. Sometimes when you make an investment, you put your most valuable thing on the table because you believe that something great is going to come back out of it. Not for us, but for the glory of the Lord. Can I have an amen? So we're investing, and this is how we serve the greatest investor who ever lived. The other part of this is part I want to hurry through, which is the word assessment. We have an assignment, but then there's an assessment. And I cannot ignore this part of the story that Jesus told, because he wants us to understand there will be an evaluation. You look at verse 15. The king returned and he called the servants together. He had given them the money and he wanted to find out what the profits were. Where are we at? How are we doing on this? Now, Jesus is telling this story. Sounds like a Wall Street tale, but he's making a far deeper point. I want to know what the profits are. And then in verse 17, he's assessing the servants. He said, you're a good servant. You're a good servant. You're a faithful servant. You're a faithful servant. You're a dud. Because you let fear control your life. You didn't take the step. You held back. And I want to say this to you, because none of us likes report cards. None of us likes the idea of being judged or criticized. Unless we're doing the judging, then we like that, right? We love that part, don't we? We're a nation of judges and critics. We are evaluators. We are black belts. We are super excellent at giving our opinions. But none of us want to be evaluated. It's kind of scary. Jesus said, hey, dude, we're all going to be evaluated. So we ought to live that way. But this is not to make us afraid. This is to smarten us up and cause us to focus on what God is actually focused on. You say, well, what does God want from me? What does he want from me? I'm not perfect. Exactly. Me neither. He doesn't want you to be perfect. Not even close. What does he want? What would he be looking for? What's the point of this story? He said to the servant, well done, you good and what? Faithful. Now here's the one thing that God is after from you. He wants your heart. Because life is all about the heart. But once he has that heart, concerning the assignment, concerning what he's asking you to do, whether you're a father, a mother, a student, a business person, a husband, a wife, a son, a friend, what does he want? He wants you to be faithful. Well done, good and faithful. You did the job. You understood your role. He didn't say, well done, you good looking. He didn't say, well done, you high capacity, high intelligence, high IQ. He didn't say, well done, you highly educated. No. He just said, well done, faithful one. You've been faithful. And that is what the one quality that God looks for and the one quality that he rewards is faithfulness. The Bible says that we should use the gift that we have received. Use the gift that we have received to serve others faithfully. As faithful stewards of God's grace. What does faithful look like? I have on the screen a few thoughts about what faithfulness looks like. Faithfulness is loyalty. When you're married, every wife is looking for a loyal husband. Every husband is looking for a loyal wife, right? So faithfulness, we take our vows and we say, I do, I will, I promise, so help me God, you know, and all of that, right? It's to be loyal. Faithful is a resistance to desertion or betrayal. Faithful also means steadfast. It means I'm sticking to my promise. I'm not going to make a promise and then when it gets inconvenient, change my promise. I'm going to stay with it. And then it's also the idea of commitment, being constant in duty. So you're given a job, and if your job is to stand on the corner, and it's 3 a.m., and it's dark, and it's cold, and it's raining, and that's your corner, and you're supposed to guard that corner, and that's your job, and nobody's looking, and there's no danger, but it's your job to guard, then you are on that job. You are doing it. And Jesus is looking. And the reason he tells this story about investment and using what you have, he's looking to emphasize the power of faithfulness. Another question for us to ask today is, are we being faithful? Not are we being perfect. Please don't put that on you, because God isn't asking that of you. But can we ask ourselves, are we being faithful? I want to say about Albert and Jenny Castaneda that they are faithful. They came to us 14 years ago, something like that. They became a part of our church. They were sitting in the back row for a while, and as we got to know them, soon they were involved in ministry. Soon I was hiring them. Soon I was trusting them with major areas of responsibility in the church. And they have proven, we've examined their lives, their marriage, their family life, their doctrine, their attitude. What we have here, what you have here is not perfection. What you have there is not perfection. What you have there, though, is faithful. And the reason I know, they're going to succeed, the reason I know they're not going to bomb, is because I've watched them succeed for 13 years already. And I believe that the best is yet to come for Albert and Jenny. And guys, I just want to say to you again how proud of you I am, how pleased with your lives I am. I thank you for everything you've done here in San Jose. And I'm so excited to partner with you in a new city. And I say to you, you haven't seen nothing yet. And you're not going to dud, and you're not going to fizzle. God has saved up the best for you. And to all you guys that are standing with them, we're going to carry this vision forward. And, you know, I'm not the only person that's supposed to reach cities. I believe these guys are going to reach cities. I mean, more than one. I mean, from Phoenix, maybe some stuff is going to happen. How many will believe with me for that? What would happen? What would happen if every church had a dream of taking what they've been given and multiplying it? What would happen if we all became investors in this awesome kingdom? All right, I'm going to move quickly to the third point. Let's skip a couple of slides and go right to this third one, because time is against me. It's a plot. The communists or somebody are trying to get me. All right. The third piece of this story is an advancement. There's an assignment. There's an assessment, and there's an advancement. When you are walking faithfully in your assignment, God says, I'll bless you. I will promote you. If you do this, I'll advance you to greater and greater things. I think one of the reasons why we're looking at other cities is because God has looked at us and said, you weren't perfect, but at least you showed up and you're being faithful. And I'll help you to reach other cities. You know what I said to Kathy while we were on vacation? God is so determined. He is so determined to reach people that he will even use us. That's how dedicated God is to reaching people. He will even use us. How many are glad that God will use even you? He will, and he'll advance you, and he'll promote you. Even more will be given to you as you are faithful with what God gives you. He rewards faithful people. He rewards faithful organizations. And this is part of why we're planting campuses. We want to reach people. This is not about a name or a brand. This is about reaching people, and we want to do it for the Lord. We want to do it, and we can do it, and we will do it. What I hear the Lord saying prophetically to me, and what I hope you hear him saying to you, is it is time to advance. It is not time to watch other people do it. It is time to do it. You say, well, I'm scared. And I believe God would say, then do it scared. But do it. Don't miss the opportunity. Remember the one guy that said, I was afraid, so I just buried it in a sock and I put it in the ground. He said, you're wicked. You allowed fear to keep you. What he's saying is, do it scared. But do what I have called you to do. And I believe that God is calling us to touch cities and reach cities. And I think about Joshua chapter 6, where Joshua said, I've heard the Lord. And he said, it's time for us to advance. And for us going to Phoenix, Arizona is our next step in advancing, but it's not our only step, because there are other cities that are calling. There are other places where people are hurting, and they need something that we have. Not that we have something that another church doesn't have, but we're going to do our part in every city where God opens a door. When I hear the Lord saying to this, advance, march around the city, and let's take the city. Because when the church moves forward, the enemy goes on defense. Don't you live on defense. Don't react to people all the time. Don't constantly react to the devil. Don't constantly react to the news and what you're... Hey, forget about reacting. Act. Do what God has called you to do, because you can spend your whole life reacting to the pain and to the hurt and all of that. But at some point, you got to stand up and march. Say, well, I'm afraid to. Then do it scared. Here's a prayer that Deborah prayed. By the way, I could talk for a long time about women. Can you advance to keep going until, yeah, that's the one. Judges 5. Look at my verse. This is my verse. It's not for you. No, I'll let you have it. Deborah said, the woman that was arising, the woman that was scared to find her place, she said, march forward, my soul. March on with strength. The next time you get scared, talk to yourself. It's all right. It's the first day of school. March forward, my soul. March on with strength. I'm starting a new job. I'm going into my boss's office. It's time for review. It's time for evaluation. I'm going to open a new branch. I'm going to propose. I'm going to pop the question. I'm going to plant a campus. What do you say to yourself? March on, my soul. Can we say that together? Come on. Just say it. Talk to yourself and say, march on, my soul. March on with strength. Yeah. That's how you get over the jitters, hallelujah. And you talk to yourself, because if God is for you, there's nobody that could be against you. I'm out of time. I have to stop talking. But here's really what I want to say to us. Every one of you has a gift. God has invested something in you. And the question of the kingdom and the question of the king is, what have you done with what I've given you? I don't need you to be perfect. I don't need you to be brilliant, but I'm looking for some faithful people. And if you're faithful, I'll bless you and reward you. Father, let's just bow our heads right now. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord, for speaking to us out of your word. Help us to co-invest with you, Lord, into the vision, the calling, the assignments that you have given to us in life, Lord. May we never lose our assignments. May we never lose, Lord, our sense of purpose and vision. I pray, Lord, over all the people in this room that they will find their assignments and some to find their new assignments in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, connect us to your purpose and to your plan for our lives. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. 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 Guys, we're gonna end a little different today. This is family time. This is spiritual warfare time. This is moving the troops and reading the orders and commissioning the team time. So we're gonna do that as a family. And I'm so glad you're here to be a part of this moment, the authority, the vision, the family of this moment. I'm going to ask our Gateway pastors and our Gateway elders just to come up here. If you guys would come first and just kind of spread yourselves evenly across the front. This is something that our pastors and elders absolutely are a part of, our spiritual leaders and what we want to do. What we're going to do is we're going to speak words over the Phoenix team who are also coming. So would you, Phoenix team, would you stand in front of these pastors and elders? Would you come, Pastor Albert and Jenny, just right here, center up, and the rest of you guys that are on the Phoenix team, just fill in across the sides, okay? This is our, buddy, not everybody can be here. See, there it is again, if I turn the wrong way, you can't hear me. There's a prophetic word in there somewhere. I better keep pointing the right direction, shouldn't I? Or the Lord will cut my mic. Okay, I got it, Lord. Okay, back to what we're doing. Thank you. I'll just rely on this. Wonderful. Not all of the 26 or 28 people that are a part of the Phoenix team, some have already moved and couldn't be with us this morning. Many of these came all the way from Phoenix to be with us this morning. Isn't that special? Isn't that awesome? It's tremendous. So this is about empowering you guys to take what's happening in San Jose and build it. We have a plan, we have a pattern, we have a support system and a covering, but you guys are gonna run the plays, you're gonna do the job, and so we're gonna build a hedge of prayer around you, and over the next 7 months between now and launch Sunday, God's gonna use you. And hell might try to break out against you, but heaven's going to break out against hell, and we know who wins. Hallelujah. Words are very powerful, aren't they? What you say to your wife, your child, really matters. So we're going to say words. And so that we could all say the same words, I put them together up on the screen, and I'm going to invite you to stand with me because you are participants in this, and I'm going to ask you to say these words with me. These are words, I believe, of the Holy Spirit. If you are in a position where you can see these words, if you're not, reposition yourself so you can see them, because these are words that I believe are being written down in heaven today, and I believe the enemy is listening to these words. And he has to respect the legislative power of this assembly right here, because we're enacting spiritual authority here today. So let's read these words together. Let's do our best to kind of do it as a family, okay? You ready to go? This is the blessing and sending prayer. If you want to stretch your hands up or stretch them out or reach toward the team, this is all the encompassing of the Holy Spirit and His power. Pastors Albert and Jenny, here we go. Along with our entire Gateway Phoenix team, this is the day the Lord has made, and we rejoice in it. You are our family and our own flesh and blood. God has raised you up and gifted you to lead as shepherds and teachers. You have made full proof of your ministry in this place. Almighty God has chosen you. Your family is strong, and our leaders have set you apart by the will of God for this assignment. You have heard His voice, and now is the time. We love you and celebrate with you. It goes on. It goes on. There's about four or five of these. We, the people and leaders of Gateway City Church, speak our full blessing into your body, soul, and spirit. We send you and authorize you in the name of Jesus Christ to invade the darkness in Phoenix with the shining light of Jesus Christ. We bless you to be faithful to God and His word. We bless you to be one with us in vision and purpose to win the lost, make faithful disciples, and build a church for all people. We are confident that you will succeed no matter what the season, because God is for you. Who can be against you? It goes on. We pray to our gracious God in heaven. Thank you for this team and everything they have poured out for your people. Father, we ask you now to bless them and make them fruitful. We ask you to use them to establish a flourishing campus in Phoenix, a place of healing, freedom, purpose, and influence. We promise not to fail in helping your servants, praying for your servants, and loving your servants. We ask you to open miraculous doors for this team and give your angels charge over them, keeping them from all harm. It goes on.
We also speak to the darkness. Come on, let's get the authority voice in here now. We also speak to the darkness. You will not be permitted to defeat this team or its assignment. We do not send them with human words, plans, or weapons. We are sending them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is building his church. And we know that the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. We remind you that you are bound and defeated in the earth and in heaven by the blood of Jesus Christ. We command you to loose the lives of those you have bound, and we claim them this day for the kingdom of God. It goes on, Lord Jesus, we give you the honor and the glory for what you are doing to transform the lives of men, women, children, and young people. We bless you and your people everywhere. In Christ's name, amen. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Come on, give a victory shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For today is that new beginning that you have cried out for. Today I have spoken my word. Today I have launched into your life, into the very atmosphere around you, an empowerment, an anointing, which if you will reach for it, I will forgive your sins. I will release you of your past, says the Lord. I will wipe away everything that the enemy has done to destroy you. This day, I will do a new thing in your life, and I will establish a new purpose and a new assignment, for yet the Lord has need of you. Yet the Lord will use you, and he will call you, says the Lord. So reach up and receive my mercy and receive my forgiveness, and let this be a brand new day, and let it be a brand new beginning for you, for I have reserved the best for the last. This coming season will eclipse every other season in your life, and my hand is upon you, says the Lord. I have not benched you or forgotten you. I am raising you up and promoting you, for this is the hour when I need all my people serving me, when I need all my people praying, when I need all my people giving and all my people believing. So join now into the call, says the Lord, and receive that fresh anointing, for I am replacing your fear with courage in this hour, says the Lord your God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Father, once again, for real, before heaven and before earth, using the authority that you have given me, Lord, as the lead pastor, and together with my pastors and my elders and this congregation and our friends and family, using the authority that we have in the blood of Jesus Christ, we commission this team. Command you to be strong. Command you to guard your hearts, for out of your hearts flow every issue of life. Guard your hearts, be strong, and master fear. I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. Father, we ask, God, that you would strengthen them, pour a fresh anointing upon them, and use them beginning in Phoenix, in that area, and to other areas, Lord, to gather together hundreds, multitudes, scores, thousands, Lord, whatever they can do, Lord, through your power, we ask you to take the limits off and use them, and use us, Lord, to support them, cover them, and empower them in Jesus' name. And the congregation said amen. One more time, give the Lord a shout today. Let's praise him. Hallelujah. Okay. I got so excited I forgot the offering. Nobody going anywhere. Take a minute, sit down, please. I guess we will have a song today, guys. I think that will work. I had a nightmare one time. I dreamed that I dismissed everybody. And as they were all gone, I realized I forgot the offering. I woke up in a cold sweat. It was very scary. That close. You can see how nervous I am about money. Thank you for your giving. Let's give the Phoenix team one more hand clap. Guys, thank you so much. Love you all. After the service is over, we'll have a chance to greet them. So please don't rush off. And let's worship the Lord for a moment. Ushers, serve the people. Thank you for your giving. I'm a little disorganized, but I'm sincere. All right? Let's give. Praise the Lord.
Oh, Holy Spirit, burn like a fire, all consuming, consuming, here in your presence, Lord, I surrender to your glory, for your glory.
Come on, let's sing.
Oh, Holy Spirit, burn like a fire, oh, consuming, consuming, here in your presence, Lord, I surrender to your glory, for your
stand together and sing it. Oh, Holy Spirit.
Oh, Holy Spirit, burn like a fire. Consuming, consuming. Here in your presence, Lord, I surrender to your
Yes, that's what we want, His glory, His glory. I'm just going to invite a few of our elders and maybe some altar workers to come and be available. If you have a need this morning, like to pray in some way, check in with somebody, you can do that here at the front. And I want you to have the opportunity to greet Pastor Albert and Jenny. Today would not be a day for long conversations with them because there would be so many people that would want to say hello to them. But they're going to be here, and I don't know if you guys know what a Pentecostal handshake is, but if you don't, ask your neighbor, what's he talking about? Those are always welcome, just a way of blessing the Castanedas and loving on them. Please give them a greeting because we won't see them for a few months, all right? God bless you. You are dismissed with the blessing of the Lord. Thank you for being here today. Thank you. God bless you.